the platform. Step up and speak out.
Good evening, it is The Platform. I am Annalisa Dube. This evening we are joined by the Minister of Transport and Infrastructural Development, Joel Biggie Matiza. Good evening, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Good evening, viewers.
And we are live in our Newland studios in Harare, so do get in touch with us. Our WhatsApp number is 0731-168-045, and we're also on Facebook and on Twitter at ZFM Stereo. Honorable Minister, maybe let's start with basics. What is your ministry responsible for?
Well, the ministry is responsible for transport and infrastructure development. Infrastructure, we're looking at roads and bridges and inland waters. And also we're looking at also transport, which includes National Railways of Zimbabwe and aviation, which includes Air Zimbabwe.
Okay, and I'm sure that your ministry is also in charge of the of ZINALA, Zimbabwe National Road Administration.
Yeah, well, ZINALA is a part of the it's a parastatal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of the ministry, which we superintend.
Okay.
So we superintend ZINALA, we superintend over CAR, Civil Aviation Authority, we superintend over CMED. We superintend over Safety Council of Zimbabwe. So we do superintend over quite an it's a big ministry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is ZUPCO one of them? There's been a bit of changes with ZUPCO lately.
No. ZUPCO is under the Minister of Local Government.
Oh, how so?
It has always been.
Okay.
Urban transport is under the purview of local government.
All right. All right, let's look at the country's road network, which is like a major issue right now. How much is required to rehabilitate the country's entire road work?
Well, there's a lot of money that's required. In excess of billions. We have a network that includes tarred roads, gravel roads, and earth roads.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole network of roads that need to be upgraded, maintained, and some of them are greenfield roads. So the mandate is that we need to make sure that our roads are trafficable, and that we need to upgrade them continuously, maintain them continuously, and build them where necessary. As you are aware, the road network is part of our economy. It does play a big major role in our economy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we are moving in a very fast edge where transportation plays much a big role, especially in Zimbabwe, where our location in the southern region is very pivotal to the economy of the sub-region as such.
Uh-huh.
So we need to play our role so that other countries also benefit through our road network, you know, through from south to the north, east and west. There's all that needs to be maintained and built. It's a sensitive network that can cripple or can make the economic stick of the southern region.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that the country needs billions to resuscitate the road network in the country. And I know Treasury has availed about 399 million for transport and infrastructure for your ministry.
Yeah.
And clearly, it is not enough. What is the plan there to make sure that things happen?
Yeah, well, that came from the fiscus. We still have from ZINALA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some funds coming from there. And we still also have PPPs, you know, that we have already...
Public-private partnerships?
That's right. That's where tenders have come out for them to go into the feasibility studies. And we hope that this will now come to fruition. So all this, if you put them together, there's a lot of money involved.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you might want to elaborate on the public-private partnerships that you have, that you're working on. We'll touch on ZINALA later on the show.
Yeah, you know, the PPPs, investors will come in, develop the roads, and maintain the roads for a period. within that period, they will get their money from the users of the road. So actually the government will get the roads after, say, 25 or 20 years or 15 years, you know, get back the road.
Okay.
Yeah, so the infrastructure will have been developed. The infrastructure will have been trafficked by our road users. And the infrastructure will have helped the economy to grow without us getting those billions into from the fiscus.
Okay.
So that's the other route this the present government is taking. You know, we're saying Zimbabwe is open for business. That's part of the business that we're talking about in the roads.
Are they partnerships that you already locked down, or are you still in consultation and discussing?
No,
to
as
see
I said,
how
the tenders have come out, and now they will have to do their own feasibility study and then go into construction. So those have already come out. The Bed Bridge, Blawayo, Victoria Falls, that has already gone into place. And we also have Nyamapanda Road. They're also in the tray.
Okay. And are you also looking to work with the private sector? You spoke about for foreign investors.
Yeah. Majority of these guys are foreign investors. Mm-hmm. Yes, we would want to. It's open. All these opportunities are open, both local and international. Yeah. So it's a vast opportunities that are there in the road rehabilitation, road construction.
Mm-hmm.
It's open, and that's why we were saying you do your feasibility study, and then come up with your model. And do the construction.
Okay, now we have had investors in the country before in terms of road realization. You mentioned a number of highways that you said are going to generate money for the country. And we've had a number of issues as a country with certain investors that has halted the construction or the improvement of our roads. What measures have you put in place to ensure that wherever the wheels had fallen off before, it will not happen again?
Well, those who did, I can only remember the Geiger situation on the Bay Bridge Road. But otherwise, those who
and
went
AFIC?
To...
AFIC?
No, AFIC has not signed the contract
yet.
So those who have signed the contracts have got their penalties there.
Uh-huh.
So that, I'm sure everybody will be very careful to go in to sign and then start having the wheels off. But agreements, the process of agreements sometimes did not come to fruition, especially the Geiger one.
True.
Yeah, because proof of funding was not there, you see, and it didn't work. So we as the new government, we are eager to go on with work. That's why the president dropped them, and we are on to another model.
Okay, and you're sure it will work out this time?
Yeah, it will work out this time. For Bedbridge, yes, of course, it's going to be a local content. And as you know, or as you might not know, there's work going on now on the Harare Bedbridge Road. And we're happy.
Do we have a time frame for this?
3.5 years.
All right. Okay, so now you have been touring different provinces when you're looking at different road constructions. And last week you were in Manicaland and Mashonaland East. And I understand this week you're looking to go into Matabeleland as well.
Yes.
Can you update
yes.
us on some of the situation on the visits that you have done so far?
Yeah, you know, it's an eye-opener because my aim is to see the processes of funding, the processes of construction, and management of those roads. Are they being done properly? Are we having bottlenecks, and what are they? Especially, I can have a desk information and I just sit down in the office, but if you go down to the ground, you will see what the problems are. So, yes, the issues were many, many issues.
What have been some of the challenges?
The challenges, of course, is that on the roads authorities that are receiving money from Zinara, they are not sending their acquittals in time. And the acquittals are meant that you have done your work and this is what you've done, you've finished this money, now you need to get more money.
Uh-huh.
And that is not forthcoming.
So that is then delaying
that
the process.
Delays the processes, the contractor is on site and he's not paid and the work stops. But the money is there.
So people, the money is there.
Yeah, and then people don't understand. They think the government is, people are eating money, or the somewhere thinks the MP or the minister or the government, whichever, you know, blames start flying all over the show. So we saw that. And the reason for some of these issues is because there's not much technical know-how in doing those appeals.
In the local authorities.
In the local authorities. Sometimes some of them, they employ people who are not qualified. And so they just don't know how to do it. And it takes time. You see, so that is one of the bottlenecks. Of course, in Zinara itself, there also are where problems which we have now set down to sort out in terms of disbursing those funds in time.
Mm-hmm.
So the issue of funds is a key issue in this whole thing. And then experience is also an issue in this thing. In where we see delays of on the contractor's side. It's not only, of course, not only is the contractor facing those problems from the roads authority, they also have got problems. Sometimes they come up with equipment that does not work, and the work is left.
Which also
halfway.
Goes back to the local authorities and how they're giving out these tenders.
Yes, of course.
Okay. We have the Minister of Transport and Infrastructural Development, Joel Bigimatiza, and we are taking your questions. Our WhatsApp number is 0731-168-045. So, Minister Matiza, are you saying that as far as the potholes that we're seeing concerned, as far as the bad roads that we're seeing in our localities, the buck is stopping with the local authorities? And the money is there, but the buck is stopping with the local authorities.
Yeah, there are roads authorities that do this work. Mm-hmm. Roads authorities. There is the local authorities. Local, and then there's local government authorities. There is also the DDF. There is the Department of Roads. And there's urban local authorities. So these authorities, they are autonomous on themselves. They receive money from Zinara. They also make their own budgets. They make their own programs. So these then are the ones that are operational on the ground.
But they're the ones that have been complaining in recent years that they're not receiving enough funds from Zinara.
Yeah, that's why I said, you know, on the other hand, Zinara also had some problems. Well, not receiving enough money, but it's receiving the money timeously.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the issue that we are working on now. As you are aware, I've appointed a new board, and one of the mandates is that to make sure that there is a financial prudence.
Okay. So let's, before we want to get into Zinara, because as you mentioned at the beginning of the show, it's also one of the major sources of revenue for your ministry. So let's look at the primary role of the Zimbabwe National Road Administration so that we are clear to know exactly how it works and how it's funded.
Well, it collects revenue from levies, from toll gate levies. And
we have 26 toll gates across the country. Do we have them here?
Yeah. It collects money. It disperses them to these roads authorities I've just talked about. It manages those funds. And it makes, it audits those funds. And to make sure that they are utilized in the right project. If it's a road to Murewa or to Siakovu, they manage that and make sure that that road, that money has been used properly. So it's managed collection, disbursement, and managing of funds.
Okay. And what is the average revenue from Zinara every year?
I think it's about 20 million.
And of that 20 million, how is it dispersed in the different towns, different cities, and the different responsibilities that Zinara has and your ministry has?
Well, there's an allocation formula they use, which they are going to revise anyway, to disperse these amounts to the local authorities. So I'll be able to give you the latest after they've finalized.
Okay, when are we likely to receive this revision?
No, they're working on it right away to make sure that that formula satisfies everybody. in the local authority. There's been queries here and there. Maronda is getting more than Tare or, you know, all these kind of things. So they need to sort that one out and make sure that it is properly done. And it satisfies all the local authorities.
But you haven't given us a time frame, Honorable. You just said they are actually working on it now. When are they going to be done?
Yeah, they'll be done within next month.
Oh, so you did mention that you have appointed a new board at Zenara. And over the years, like you've also rightly said, that Zenara has been accused of corruption and a lot of mismanagement of funds, as well as abuse of funds by the directors as well. What measures have you put in place to make sure that history does not repeat itself? Because you might have taken out a certain maybe individuals that were representing a board, but have you dealt with the actual system at Zenara?
Yeah, the first thing is that you get a board that has integrity, people with experience, and these are the people who are mandated now to look into the structure of the management and the management system. As they are going in now, there are lots of things that have been happening before. One of them is that there is a forensic report that was done and by Grant Thornton to check the corruption allegations and to see how funds are being utilized and deployed. So that has quite a lot of revealing information in terms of corruption, in terms of abuse of office. So they have all the things they have to start working on now to make sure that the management is proper and that it yields the desired results. That is the proper collection of funds, resources, and deploying them to the roads of authority. Actually, stopping leakages is the key.
Okay, and you have that under control?
Yes, they are working on now. You know, they're just about 3 weeks or so in office.
All right. Yeah. So now, when I visited your website earlier when I was preparing for you to come here, I noticed that your vision as a ministry is to be a regional hub for world-class transport and communications network and services by the year 2020. Do you think this is visible? That's like a year from now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite visible if all the systems that we have are in place, are operationalized. For instance, now if we do finalize our Air Zimbabwe, the deal that we're working on, definitely there's a lot of opportunities and the airways will be very contributory to our economy and in the region. And NRZ, we are negotiating with a certain outfit with Transnet, DIDG, NRZ, to recapitalize our railways. And if this succeeds, then that's another issue that we will
If
be.
This succeeds.
If, yeah, of course. If, even if it doesn't, there's still options to work on. The issue is, once we start a program, like, for instance, the NRZ, for instance, if we do start the recapitalization program,
That's like a $400 million.
Yeah, it's a $400 million recapitalization program. Mm-hmm. If we do start, I mean, a lot of things will come in. The tracks will be rehabilitated as fast as we can. Signals will be coming in. And these are things that don't take that much of a time, you know. And the life into the railways will start picking up. So 2020 is realizable in the sense that once all these things are in place, mm-hmm. then we are saying we've done it.
So what has been the holdup with this recapitalization to start? Because you're saying if you start, why haven't you started?
We have a framework agreement with the Transnet and DIDG. This framework agreement it has an exclusivity clause. So which comes to an end in on the 14th of February, it will come to an end, and that's what was holding because we're negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So once the negotiations are through and you agreed, then we now take off.
Okay, let's look at road accidents. Now, in 2018, that's just last year, over 1,900 people are reported to have died to road accidents. And in 2007, about 1,800 also died, which, and according to reports that we've heard, they say that over 90% of these accidents are caused to human error. Now, we've often heard of reports or allegations of corruption at the VIDs, where people are not actually going through the process of getting their driver's license, but they're buying their driver's license. Are you looking into this, the issues at the VID?
Yes, in fact, I'm very concerned about the situation. It had gone out of hand. And rarely do you hear anybody who has gone through the driver's license properly and genuinely. But they are getting all this kind of bribes. Those allegations are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are looking at reducing human intervention by computerizing the whole processes. The learners... computerization, e-learners program, driver's license program has already completed. We have one or two issues that we need to do. It's an in-house issue between ourselves and other sister ministries that we are going to be sorting out. But soon after, I think within the next 1 month, we should now launch. We should have launched it in December, but issues that need to be sorted out. That then will reduce
the human interaction in between.
Yeah, you can't, you know, because you've got to the screen, the questions are random, the computer will just change the questions, you can't have a set question. You just come in 7 minutes, you are there, you do your exam, you pass, you go and get your...
That's for the provisional license, and then for the practical lesson?
Yes, it's also the appointment of those who are going to be testing you. It's computerized. You don't, there's no somebody telling you that you're going to meet this guy who probably might have had some, you know, collusion. So it's going to just be random. You're going there, you're coming out, and there's no...
And you're saying this will be done in a month's time. Yeah. We're taking note of the time frames that you're giving us, Minister, and
yes,
we're going to hold you to account.
No, it's okay.
Okay. So speaking of driving, we have heard that there is actually a shortage in terms of number plates, and you recently gave a statement that you have lengthened the validity of the temporary identification cards.
Yeah.
How did we get here as a country, really? I mean, did we not see this coming? Where did the wheels fall off? I'm sure this could have been avoided.
It's a simple issue. It's just Forex. We under pressure in terms of Forex. The economy is growing faster before it starts generating the Forex required. And so these are problems of Forex which we're dealing with at the present moment. We engage in the Arabs, Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe, you know, and very soon we should be out of it. We have some. Already now we have about 28,000 number plates that have just come in. An improvement will be seen through the process. But what you're talking about was just a mitigatory measure to make sure that our motorists are not put under unnecessary inconveniences. Okay. So that will be phased off as soon as the required number of number plates are there.
What is the required number? Well, you said you have 28,000
currently in stock. Yeah, it will take us to about 2.5 months.
What is the required number?
Well, you can't tell the required number because people just come in with their vehicles. It's any moment, a given moment. There's a lot of vehicles coming in every day, you know. So, but we've been up above the required number all along, except now that now the Forex is now giving us a bit of a problem.
Okay. We are joined by the Minister of Transport and Infrastructural Development here on the platform. I'm Mona Lisa Dube. We're taking a short break. We'll be right back. And after the break, we'll be taking your questions. Our WhatsApp number again is 0731-168-045. Do stay tuned.
The platform. Step up and speak out.
Welcome back to the platform. I am Mona Lisa Dewey. This evening, we are joined by the Minister of Transport and Infrastructure Development, Joel Bigi Matiza. And what I really like about Honorable Matiza is that he's giving us time frames, and he has promised us we are going to have a functional road network in 3.5 years. And he says that we are going to be having enough registration plates in 2.5 months from now. And he said that in a month from now, we are going to be having a computerized system that enables us to get our license as well. I hope you're taking notes of this, and we are going to hold him accountable for these timeframes that he's given us, and we're also going to follow up on what the ministry has been doing. And I did say that we are taking your questions after the break. Our WhatsApp number is 0731-168-045. I have a question here from Baba Kare Jkwamusana. Dombashama to Bindura Road is busy, but Pane Bridge Pananya Ureri Ripasi Chaijo. We see accidents twice or thrice per week. Is there a plan Kwisa Bridge Ririna? Yes, that's the question from Baba Karich.
Yeah, okay. It just depends on the road authority that is in charge of that place. If it's the local authority, that means the local council there, they should be able to deal with that issue. But I will follow up with the relevant authority.
Okay. We also have a question here from Matenga Mbiri, who is in Kariba. Hello, why is the government taking long to rehabilitate the Chirundu Baitbridge Road when the government is collecting a lot of money from the toll gates?
Well, the Chirundu to Harare segment has already started. I'm sure the viewers should by now know that there's activity on the road, lots of activity. Of course, we were, you know, delayed or disrupted by the recent events and price increases in fuel. But now we're on track. If you check on the road, you'll see that there's a lot of visible activity on the road. I'll be visiting again and again to make sure that that road is on schedule.
Minister, given the slew of allegations on corruption and poor corporate governance labeled against Zinara, when is the forensic audit report going to be published?
Yeah, I've just appointed a board and handed over the report to them. It's now seized with the board to make sure they now take action. That will be done very soon. They will report to me in terms of time frames. They're going through it, and they're going through the systems to make sure, you know, they start on a clean slate.
Okay. Isuto Garakudema, 35 kilometers from Harare, commuting and driving, and we are made to pass through a toll gate every day. Can you not relocate it, please?
Yeah, that issue, it was brought to us by the local MP there, Honorable Kashambe, and he pushed for it. When the process now of relocating that toll gate, and what's remaining is just well, the budgeting of it, and also that we've put up a statutory instrument to make sure, because it goes through law, you know, and our legal department has worked out that, so we are working out a framework how we will do it, because we don't just stop a toll gate inside building, otherwise we'll lose revenue. So that transfer has got to be done properly. But definitely, that has been worked on. Your MP, Kashambe, has done a lot of good work. And yes, it's on our cards now. It's going to be done.
Well, we like hearing MPs that actually work in their constituencies. So, but how then do you strike a balance to say these people have raised a complaint and you're working towards relocating the toll gate? Chances are you are going to receive a number of other complaints of people that are complaining about convenience. How else are you going to deal with the matter aside from relocating toll gate? Because I'm sure that's not possible in all instances.
You mean the other toll gates?
Yes.
Yeah, we are making a study, actually, to make sure that all our toll gates are servicing our people properly. You know, we have one that is along Bindura Road at, that one along the Bindura Road from Harare. The people who are staying, I'm forgetting the suburb there, they pass through the toll gate every day. It's also a similar Christian bank, yes. In Christian Bank, you know, they're passing through the toll gate every day. some of them do some little bit of farming, and this is, you know, they by end of the month they are left with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So those kind of things, we're looking at them.
Hi, we have another question. Hi, why is it that when a new minister comes, he fires the existing board? Is there a reason behind? Does it mean that the boards would be incompetent in all cases?
Well, not really, not really. Well, there could, in most cases, minister probably is not satisfied with the performance of the existing board, and you have to give reasons why. And they have to be, you know, accepted. So you don't just fire and, you know, hire, but you give reasons why and they accept it.
We have another question here from Ephraim in Warren Park. My question concerns the railway system. What are your explicit plans in rehabilitating the railways and modernizing that section to at least newer generation of the industry? We need the railways back on serious business, not this current case. I think you briefly spoke about it.
Yeah. Yes, I spoke about that we are working on a recapitalization program, and we are negotiating with DIDG Transnet to recapitalize our rail system. This we will know, I think, within a few days. On the 14th, the framework agreement will expire, and then a report will be given to us of the way forward.
Okay, we will keep your questions coming through. We're going to address them. 0731-168-045. Minister, let's talk about Air Zimbabwe. How many planes are currently operating at Air Zimbabwe?
Two.
Out of six?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the plan there to make sure that it's actually going to be in full capacity?
Yeah. We appointed an administrator to look into the affairs of Air Zimbabwe. One of the mandate is to restructure and reorganize the airline. So he's in the process of doing that. What we have done so far is want to bring in, we are bringing in an Embraer, a 100-seater from United States. And I'm sure people heard me talking after last cabinet that government has approved the delivery of that Embraer, and it's coming to ply the domestic and regional flights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the Zim Airways issue has been...
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, has been resolved. This is a company, it's a government entity. We just collapsed it into Air Zimbabwe, and all the assets now in the process of transferring to Air Zimbabwe. It had four Boeing 777s, and I visited Malaysia with a delegation to make sure we negotiate and come up with a financial structure that is acceptable to both parties, government, Zimbabwe and Malaysia, and we did agree, and government has approved that we should now pay for those, the remaining balances, so that we have those 777s come into our fleet. So there is a whole 24-hour work going on to make sure that we resuscitate our airline. And we have interest from various airlines who want to come in.
For example, Ethiopian Airways, that the president met with in Addis Ababa.
Yes, I actually phoned the CEO after our cabinet meeting, and well, he was not in the office, he will be returning my call tomorrow, so that we can see and discuss issues. If they have something on the table that we can work together, they're looking at making Harare the technical hub in the region, servicing planes and, you know, repairing planes, training our pilots, and partnering with us in terms of the airline itself.
And apart from partnering with Zimbabwe, the Ethiopian Airlines also indicated that they have about $18 million that is actually locked up in the country.
Yeah.
And you've also come out to say that we have debt. We have foreign debt with domestic debt. I want to believe that this $18 million is somewhere within that 377 million debt that we owe, that Zimbabwe owes entire. What's the plan to make sure that Zimbabwe clears yeah. this debt?
Well, the 18 million is not, it's exclusive of ASM. It's not part of ASM.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's because there's the Forex issue we are talking about. And as you heard, the president has assured Ethiopian Airlines that we're going to look at TT with our RBZ and make sure we make payment plan or pay it all. You know, as you know, Ethiopian Airways has been our partner in terms of, you know, flights into Zimbabwe, you know, for a long time. Even during our hard times, Ethiopian Airways has always been with us, training our people. Even before independence, they trained our Air Force people, they trained our pilots, you know, name it. Even the most of the pilots who are flying now were trained by the Ethiopians. So there's that relationship that we need to maintain.
And the debt that Air Zimbabwe has, a 377 million debt. What is the plan there?
Yes, the plan is to have it housed by government, and so that we can start on a clean slate.
Can government manage that?
Yeah, governments can manage.
Not governments, Zimbabwean yes. government. Can the Zimbabwean government manage it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and then last year, you were quoted to have said that you're working on a business model to recapitalize Air Zimbabwe with the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe. That was last year, October. How has been the progress in that regard?
Yeah, it has. You know, the part of it is looking for a partnership, strategic partner. And those who responded positively, is Kenya Airways so far, to the advert of looking for a partner. And part of it as well is what I just talked about, that we now have to acquire our four planes, bring them into ASM, and a business model that we'll be looking at. There's so many options. As you know, the B777s are huge planes, and our servicing and our pilots have got to be upgraded. We are already in the process of upgrading our pilots to be able to fly those machines. Yeah,
and the other four of the Air Zimbabwe that are not working, because you did say you have six of them and two are only operational. What's the plan with the four?
Yeah, the other four, majority of them, we will have to dispose of them, decommission them. Some, the 767, one of them, we have a plan to make it a cargo play. So there's a plan for these issues. The MA60s, the Chinese ones, yes, those ones, we will have to look at the engines and dispose the engines so that we can salvage something from there. But they're not going to start fly anymore.
There is a question here from Chenika, who is in Bulawayo. Is it not more logical to simply pass legislation that exempts people within a 40-kilometer radius of a toll gate from paying toll fees instead of destroying what is already there?
Yeah, you can see the it's a toll order. You know, to manage that kind of thing. You know, it's there are people who stay there, the people who are lodging, the people who passing by, you know, it's to manage that kind of thing. It's not quite feasible. So the best thing is to put it where it's supposed to be, and then people collect.
We have a question here from Ben. Why is it the Budiriro Highland roundabout commissioned last month has been dug up again this week, put in drain pipes? How was it commissioned? Is that not corruption?
Yeah, well, I'll check on that one. That's under the city of Harare, the local authority there. You know, there are so many, you know, in terms of local authority, Mtare, Bulawayo, and in Harare, there's so many of those issues. So, but yeah, it could be just routine maintenance that needs to be done. Roads are always maintained. Something can break, you know, it needs to be maintained.
Honourable Minister, what is the government position on the issue of passenger handling and cargo on all major Zimbabwe airports? National Handling Services was once Okay, on all major roads, I think Zimbabwe Airports National Handling Services was once Air Zimbabwe Income Generating Subsidiary, 100% owned by the government. I'm not sure I get the question here.
Well, I'm not sure as well. But then the NHS is now a standalone entity, and it generates its own income, and it has it's profitable. It's making profits, so it was hived off from Air Zimbabwe because it deals with lots of other aircrafts. So there was a complaint by other airlines, you know, that another sister airline is now handling the cargo. So we had to hive it off and let it be a standalone. And it's I think, best practice.
Ephraim from Warren Park says, now that you've mentioned the airline issue, what are your specific proposals for relaxing the regulations in the industry to allow for smaller players to also access the market and challenge Air Zimbabwe and give it proper competition?
It's there already. There are lots of applications that are coming in. I think we have three now that have already come in. The disappointing thing is people come in with all this and they don't complete the application. They come so enthusiastically wanting to get licenses, but they don't go through the mail. Yeah, one is probably financial issues. Two, because it's rigorous. We don't just allow people to fly, you know, just fly around. So, but it's open. It's open skies. I mean, even FastJet, we opened it for Blauer to go in, to give it more traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's open.
Okay, so now we understand that Zimbabwe is currently using an outdated airspace management system, and you are working to update the airspace management system and radar surveillance systems. So how has that gone, so considering the issues that were around the tender that was given to the company that's supposed to be handling it?
Yeah, well, that's the tender issues is history now. What is happening is that Indra, the company that won that tender, is now in the process of employing the best management system, air management system. It's a process really that goes in there, but we hope within the next 18 months we should be running.
And you've also mentioned that you are, when you were doing your tour around different provinces, you did say that you are going to, you're looking into having airports across the country. Are we not maybe prioritizing things properly? I mean, isn't like the road issue the first issue that we should deal with before we look into having airports?
No. They go in hand in hand. I mean, we're talking about devolution now. And devolution expects that Midlands province should have its own airport and road network and rail network. So anybody who's running there, with the provincial minister of any other province, these are things he must or she must look at, whether there being our ministry is doing that part. But it's policy for us to make sure that every province has got an airport, servicing domestic, even regional. Like even Manicaland is close to it's close to Mozambique, and the Manicaland province has got ties with Mozambican province. So there could be lots of, you know, business activity. There are diamonds, there are whatever they, you know, and the tourism. People should be able just to fly from Mozambique to Mtare. Or locally, why should I spend 2 hours if I can just fly to Mtare and then do my business, come back? Midlands, you know, there's lots of miners there in the
Midlands.
And
who are you looking into working with in terms of those provincial airports?
No, it's a master plan that the Civil Aviation Authority is working on domestic airports. It's really a master plan that has to be done, you know, that's being carried out. It was done before, but now we're upgrading it, including all these, even aerodromes. You know, we need aerodromes to mining areas. You know, I mean, if I can just fly, you know, into your mine, you go with a smaller craft, you land, These are the things that make the economy tick and attracts investors.
Since the aim is to be a middle, upper income median by 2030.
That's right.
We have a it's a question from Takura, who is in Harare. Has the Honorable Minister tried to find a local company that can make number plates? I feel we are blaming everything on forex shortage and we are failing to think and come up with local solutions for local problems.
Yeah, all options now are being done. Reuse of the number plates, the old number plates, reusing them is another issue that's come up. Local business people or entrepreneurs have come to my office, you know, to present their options. But you see, what happens is you find these people, they always come with a foreign partner. You know, really, I have not seen one who's coming locally and say, I'm in Bari, CSO.
So are you saying that local entrepreneurs should come forward?
Yeah, this is what's open. Give us solutions. This is not only a government issue. I mean, there are lots of brains out there. You know, we will be just restricting ourselves to government officials and ministers who might be busy doing other things. But if one has got the idea, come.
Where do they come?
To our ministry. I mean, we call them in the boardroom, relevant department, heads of department, they present, we debate it, see how it's workable.
So Takura, if you know anyone who can help us with the registration plates locally, do get in touch with the Ministry of Transport. Minister, what is the logic of changing number plates each time a car is sold locally? This creates unnecessary material waste and waste of forex.
Yeah, as I said earlier on, we are looking in those areas of reusing the number plates.
And there is a Jackie says, is Simba Chikore still on the payroll of Zim Airways?
Well, from the records I have, I've not seen anywhere where he's on a payroll. No, I have not seen.
Another question, do you think the $100 fee of changing from a foreign license to a local one is a bit high? Why charging in US dollars when one is also a local citizen of Zimbabwe?
Well, this is designed to make sure that we have enough forex as well to be able to bring in these number plates. As I said earlier on, what is now killing us or stalling the program is because there's lack of forex. So that will assist in this.
Right, Honorable, let's look at how Zimbabwe is strategically positioned on the North-South Corridor. And we understand that there's development of a national transport master plan, which is designed to facilitate expansion of the country's infrastructure. And we're talking about roads, talking about air, inland water, and railway system. And we know that this is currently in progress. What can you give us an update on how this is going?
The master plan?
Yes.
Yeah, we are working on the master plan and it's going on very well in terms of the road network. I think we have the best in the region in terms of accessing the country. We have one of the best in the region. And this is what I'm saying, by 2020 we should be talking what we promised. Mm-hmm. Because the accessibility, the road start, and those who are supposed to gravel it properly, we are there. So the master plan is there to make sure that it's part of the 2030 vision.
Okay. Yeah. Now, as we round off the program, Minister Matiza, we have heard a lot of concerns from the people that have been sending messages. We've had toll gates issues. We spoke about accidents that are happening because of human error. And also, the roads have a part to play in all this. We spoke about Air Zimbabwe. We spoke about a number of things that affect your ministry. Now, what is it that you would want the Zimbabwean listener who's listening to know that your ministry is committed to do in this 2019?
Yeah, well, in this 2019, in every province, we're doing a major road, three major roads, and we definitely are going to continue doing it. Some take 3 years, but we'll be on program. So our road network construction will be in full swing in 2019. And in 2019, there will be efficiency in disbursement of funds and in acquittals by local authorities, and it's not dispersing the funds. And in 2019, we are looking to see local authorities employing qualified engineers. And in 2019, we are going to see our Air Zimbabwe resuscitated. 2019, NRZ, we are going to see steps towards, concrete steps towards recapitalization of the NRZ. And in 2019, we are hoping that our Walvis Bay port in Namibia is going to be fully functional. So, I mean, there's all these heavy activity that are happening, and we'll make updates.
Yeah, we'll be following up. We'll be checking.
And we're going to have a program, special program, that we as a ministry will be updating in each province what we are doing and which road is going on and which road authority is doing what. And this will now give information to our people to know exactly what the government is doing and how much work is being undertaken by the government under these circumstances. So it's going to be an interesting year, very active, and I'm very passionate about it. And there'll be delivery.
Thank you. That's all we had time for this evening on the platform. Thank you for coming through. That was the Minister of Transport and Infrastructural Development, Joel Biggie Matiza, and he has shared with us his big dreams for his ministry. And we really are hoping that we will be seeing results in that area, because as he rightfully said, it is a ministry that contributes a lot of money in this economy. That's all we had time for. I am Mona Lisa Dube, Honorable. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Do stay tuned to ZFM Stereo.